This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
Scared the crap out of me, Michael. I look out the window. There's a person out there.
Kind of like the Twilight Zone.
Kinda. It was pretty scary. And apparently he's like an HVAC guy. Is that right? He's doing something with the building heater situation. Is that right?
Yeah, he was tearing something apart.
Yeah, I did not know that.
That episode with Captain Kirk did it.
No, Star Trek. No Star Trek today. Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. Mike, sorry about that, man. I was startled to start the segment. We're right out the window. I could see part of the roof, and there was a guy standing right there. It was terrifying.
Okay, I was going to say, have you never seen anybody outside of a window before? But if you're on the second floor...
We're on the second floor. Yeah. It was kind of spooky. Typically, you don't hang out there. It's not really a hangout spot, you know? So it was kind of startling to me. Mike Brohard joining us, CSURams.com. Mike, tell me to slow down on Kyle Jorgensen, man. I think this guy is going to be... I think he's going to be the next big star for the Rams. I'm all in.
I think you should go with it.
Yeah. Okay. I thought you might say, Brady, calm down.
Why should I tamper your... I only calm you down when it's like kind of ridiculousness.
Oh, stuff. You would not have wanted to bid on in the first segment today, but we won't go there.
What happened in the first segment?
Well, Mike, it's about stuff that you probably can't talk about, okay? Like coaching stuff, right? Potential.
Oh, I did see you tweet out something about a flash thing, which I find hilarious.
Okay, just blink.
I would just like to say that I, too, have also expressed an interest in the job. And going through my phone, I bet you I could put together a veteran staff myself.
Just blink twice if that is a legitimate conversation we should be having, Mike. You don't need to say anything. Just blink twice. Thank you. The Rams are 2-0. They just destroyed Omaha 97-74 the other day. And I'm serious, though. I, you know, everything you're reading about Kyle Jorgensen, and a lot of it was what you wrote a lot about Kyle Jorgensen when, you know, last year coming into the season, Baby Joker, all that stuff. And of course, with me, you know, I'm a Nuggets guy. So I hear Baby Joker, I'm like, what? So I'm excited about that. And I kept saying, man, I'm curious to see like the before and after picture, like his first year with the Rams to where he is when this is all said and done. The guy is becoming a beast. He's trimmed up. He looks fantastic out there.
He does look fantastic. And it is. As he put it, it's like an off-season of work when he's healthy to where he can really work on some things. He's gotten stronger, has toned down. JP's worked wonders with him in strength and conditioning. And he is. And he did say, he says, look, Bemba, who was projected to be the starter, it's like he's gone. He's our physical presence. Well, if he's out, I have to be that. And he's done it really, really well. He has played more physical. And like all he said, he probably could have taken more shots, but he plays within the natural flow of the game. And, you know, that's what you like to see is you like to see guys that learn from their freshman year, apply things, and then come back even better. And then they keep doing that throughout their career.
Well, and these numbers, too. I mean, 25 points and 9 boards, a couple of assists there. Like, you were seeing sprinkles of that maybe last year, and maybe at times it just didn't look like he was going hard enough to the basket, not always seeing the floor. He just, I don't want to say he looks like a completely different player because he was fine last year, but it's awesome to see growth from that freshman year to this year to see where he is. Not everybody makes that leap, and not everybody makes that leap so quickly.
No, that's what the whole goal, that's what development is all about. And you talk to some coaches, and it doesn't matter what sport it is. The transfer portal, some old school coaches, true coaches, people that can teach and value the responsibility and the opportunity to be able to teach are a little bit worried because rosters are going to start going, okay, do I grab somebody with more experience? Because they might be an immediate impact guy. And how many freshmen am I still willing to take? Like, I heard John Calipari say he's never going to recruit another high school kid.
Hmm.
He's just going to go into the transfer portal. Okay, good for him. But you got a coach like Ollie Farokmanesh. He likes to teach. He likes to develop. His whole staff does. They're going to go after. They're going to get some high school kids. and they are going to develop them. I mean, just look at the things that they've done with, I don't know, maybe you've heard of Isaiah Stevens. Maybe you heard of a David Roddy. Maybe you saw what Nick Clifford did after, you know, kind of languishing a little bit at Colorado, then coming here, and then in 2 years what he became. People like to, coaches, real coaches, love to develop players. And when you see somebody like Kyle Jorgensen and his improvement from last year to this year, you go, that's a staff that develops players.
And that's what's so huge. I mean, that's one of the big knocks we always have when a coach moves on or is moved on from, is you just wonder what their ability was. Okay, they get guys, but then they don't take maybe that next step. And so far, so good with what you're seeing with Jorgensen, and I can't wait to see how the rest of this thing plays out. Mike, I need you to do me a favor, too. I don't know if you know this about me. I was a diehard WCW, WWF fan, late 90s, early 2000s. So Brandon Recksteiner's dad, Scott Steiner, I would like an autograph. So would you text me when you know he's coming to a game, Mike? I would very much like that information.
If I find out, I will let you know. You don't want, what about like Greg Gagne, Jim Brunzell? You're not worried about you don't go back that far.
I don't go back that far. Like I said, it was like
Baron von Roschke.
No, not quite. My time was right around when the WCW was like they hit their peak, and then they crumbled after they just kind of overdid the NWO thing. But don't tell Scott I said that.
I'll tell you, my first interview was with Jesse the Body Ventura.
Oh wow, really?
Yeah.
How did you get that interview?
Eighth grade, had to do a project in eighth grade English class where you had to do a career day, talk to somebody about their career. My stepdad and I, we used to go down to the old Denver Coliseum Auditorium Arena. We would watch All-Star Wrestling, and there was Jesse the Body Ventura waiting for his match.
Wow.
And my stepdad dared me to take the program and go interview him, and I did. And he was gracious and kind, and it was awesome.
That
and
is so cool.
My teacher freaked out.
That's where you got your start, man. I mean, if you can walk right up to the body like that, then you know you can interview anybody.
That's my first interview. Yeah.
My gosh, that's actually really cool, Mike. I never knew that. So, were you a wrestling fan then?
Oh, we loved it. Yeah,
we used to go. Sweet.
There was a restaurant that overlooked I-25. It was I think it was called the Chili Pepper. I don't know if it's still there, but that's where all the wrestlers would go eat afterwards. And so that's when I kind of knew it was, you know, staged. Somewhat, because I just watched Jesse the Body Ventura and Precious Paul Ellering, you know, beat the bejesus out of each other in the ring. And then just a couple tables away, there they are having dinner together.
That is so cool. I was into all that, man. I loved it. And I actually never went. My brother and I always talked about it, but we never actually went to a live of that magnitude. Never went to a live wrestling event of that magnitude. I always wanted to.
It was phenomenal. I actually got to shake hands with Andre the Giant one time.
Oh, wow. And your hands lived to tell about it.
My 10-year-old hand just disappeared in
it. Mike Brohard joining us. Well, it was a funny story because, Mike, apparently I knew the story about Brandon Recksteiner and I forgot it or something because Kevin's like, Dude, we talked about it on the show. And I'm like, I thought you said he was from a wrestling family. So I just assumed, you know, like wrestling, not that kind of wrestling. So I kind of just, I must have just put it out of my brain. And then I tweeted something about Brandon, I think in the first game. And I said, hey, this guy's going to be a problem, like in a positive way. And Scott Steiner replied. And then slowly, you know how my brain works, it just slowly started to unwrap. And I'm like, wait a second. Wrestling family, Rex Steiner sounds like Steiner, Scott Steiner. Holy crap, they're related. They're father and son. And then I got Scott replying, like, now you know, like, coming at me. And it's awesome. We're going to try to get him on the show soon. So wish me luck.
I wish you all the luck with that. I think that would be fun for you.
My question.
You can fanboy about the father and the son.
Oh, dude, I'm telling you, this would be so cool. My question for Scott, though, off the air would be, are we coming in like a wrestling interview, or are we coming in like, are we interviewing him as dad, or are we interviewing him as Scott, Big Papa Pump? That's the question.
Both.
That's true. I mean, he maybe never shuts it off.
Yeah.
Does Brandon Recksteiner come across, does he have any of that? Like, I know that's eventually kind of what he might want to get into, right? Do you get that sense when you're talking to him that, man, this guy's a showman, he'll be able to do that kind of stuff?
he's got personality. I know that. I've never personally asked him. So after this is all said and done, you're going to go, you know, toe to toe in the ring with people, right? No, I've never done that. I haven't asked him that. Don't know. Not everybody follows their dad into their profession.
I know, but it would be cool if he did. I mean, he's jacked for a point guard, right?
He's physically fit. Yes.
Yeah.
He knows where the weight room is.
He's got some guns, man. That's what I noticed. I'm like, he's got guns. And then, of course, once I start connecting the dots, again, slow unravel here, but it all starts to make sense.
I'm just happy you're excited about something, Brady.
I'm
in a positive way.
Well, Ollie Farokhmetesh is undefeated, Mike. He might never lose. He's on pace to never lose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as of right now, they're in line to be the 1976 Indiana Hoosiers. Right?
In all seriousness, though, we talked about this a little bit last week, and again,
oh, you didn't think I was serious about that?
When do they lose? Right, mark down the loss on the schedule, Mike. I don't think it happens.
I just can't find it.
I've been looking. I don't see it anywhere on here. Cal Poly coming up tomorrow night. Yeah, here we are. It's Tuesday. Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow is Wednesday.
Tomorrow's Wednesday. Today's Tuesday. Tomorrow's Wednesday. I mean, this is just, it's a fun team to watch so far. They're doing, you know, kind of what they're supposed to, not necessarily what they're supposed to do, a little beyond that, because, you know, once in a while for entertainment purposes only, I'll look at, you know, game spreads. And they were picked to beat both of these teams, but not like that.
I find it funny that when you take a team that has a little experience coming back, and then you have a grand influx of transfers, that anybody out there looks at that and goes, I know exactly how it's all going to fit together, and this is the expectation for this team, and I should be confident in ranking the Mountain West teams from 1 to 12. I don't think you can do that in this day and age, especially when you look at college basketball and the rosters like 15, 16, and 75% of it's new. You can look at talent and supposed talent, but how does it mesh? And so the interesting conversations with Ollie during the summer were, we have a lot of versatility. We have some skill. Now we need to find guys that roles. The next step is, do they accept them and embrace them?
And that's such
that's what you're seeing the team start to come together and do. Because if that doesn't happen, your team starts to unravel a little bit, right? If you've got a guy that's supposed to be number two off the bench and his goal is to do this, if he doesn't fully embrace it, does your system work?
Yeah, and that's what I think is so fascinating about any of these professions, these coaching professions, but basketball too, like getting these guys together, so many new faces, and I know they've been working together a lot over the months, but to see what it actually looks like when it comes to a game, to kind of have that, you got to have that predictor factor. You got to be able to know that, yes, once we get into all this, these guys are going to be able to click together.
Yeah, you've got to have that. And then, like, for example, look at our women's team, right? So Lexis Bargerser comes to us from Indiana where she's never averaged 2 points a game. Okay, what has she done her first two games? She's 22-17. She's led us in scoring because that's not what she was asked to do at Indiana. But Ryan Williams goes back, watches her in high school, saw that she was lighting up scoreboards left and right. This is the role that she's always wanted to have, so she transfers to try to find it. And who would have expected, if anybody would have just watched her Indiana career, they're going to go, well, she's not going to add any scoring.
Yeah.
Well, au contraire, it's been quite opposite. So you do, I think the early part of the season, you need to look and see what are some of these transfers really adding and how do they fit. But right now, I mean, what you look at is how connected are they on defense? I mean, this offense for the all he's got going, it's flowing. You had five in double figures the first night. You had four the second night, and the fifth guy had eight. He was, you know, a layup away from getting five in double figures again. They're all willing to share the ball to find the best shot, and that's really, really encouraging this early in the season because you feel that that's just something that they can grow off.
Yeah, no question. And that's why I admire so many of these coaches in our area specifically, just being able to take guys that we don't know about, gals that we don't know about really, and we look at their stat line from a previous school and it's like, why did they get that player? And then you just see that development. It's really fun to see it. Hey, Mike, while I have you, can you tell Ryan to get back to me, please? Just tell him. I know you're close to him. Just tell him to get back to me.
Ryan Pfeiffer?
Yeah, tell him.
Yeah, he's been really busy. He's been sorting out his vests.
Well, I know that takes a lot of time, but I would like to talk to the Big Sky Conference Player of the Week at some point. And I know tomorrow's off, so just at some point this week, you know?
Make so it happen, Mike. You're calling us to talk to the Big Sky Player of the Week.
Yes. Big Sky, sorry, Mount West. Mount West.
We're not in the Big Sky.
I meant Mountain West. Mike, you know what I meant. My mind's on wrestling. I'm thinking WCW, WWF. Those aren't the same things. I get it. But I want to talk to the Mount West Player of the Week.
Okay.
Just
let him know that.
Put in a good word for me. Tell him I said hi. He'll know what that means.
Tell him what?
Tell him I said hi. He'll know what that means.
Oh, he might just hang up the phone right away.
Mike, what are you working on for us at CSURams.com?
Not my best collection,
okay.
That's for sure.
Well,
I don't own one.
You have a Hawaiian shirt collection, though.
I do, and it is vast.
Yes.
I put out a story today because I was looking for something to do last week with our football team and stumbled onto a statistic that I thought was bigger. I needed more time to do it, and so it just came out at noon. I was shocked to find out we've started 24 different players on defense this year.
Hmm.
When you look at our defensive line, we have started the entire preseason three deep at every position.
Yeah, that's not good, Mike.
On the defensive line. And then I went back and looked at last year. We started all of 13 different players.
Wow.
Last year in the regular season.
So much of this depends on the health of your roster throughout any given year. I mean, at any level.
Yeah, and it was interesting to me because I found the players, and even Tyson, they just tried to find the silver lining in all that. They don't look at it as a negative. They don't approach it from week to week as a negative. They're trying to find the positives. And you've got some guys that are telling me, I'm a better football player because I now know three different positions. Or I come in on Monday and I go, okay, what am I doing this week? And they don't mind. So it's to me, it's been interesting. I mean, Tyson has never talked about his injuries and as a detriment. He's never really talked about the injuries at all. So, but I just started adding, it's like, God, we've done this a lot. And then when I asked him and he goes, yeah, that's kind of an atrocious number.
Yeah, no, it really is. And it really kind of can help tell the story of just where this season, at least at this point where it went.
Yeah, there's that.
Mike, always appreciate it. And I do I'll send you a picture. Our producer back there, Michael, he has his Broncos Hawaiian shirt on, so I think you'll appreciate his Hawaiian game here.
Good job, Mike. I got a Rockies one.
Nice.
I've got a Santa one, but I can't pull that one out yet because it's not Thanksgiving yet.
Hey, on the Rockies stuff, how do you feel about Money Paul?
He did a really good job with the Cleveland Browns, right?
Yeah. Pretty good.
No,
the optics of it are just so crazy to me. Like, hey, the Rockies are a joke in the MLB. Let's go get a guy that's been doing it on the football side of things for the last decade. Oh, let's go get a guy that's been doing it with one of the biggest jokes on the football side. The optics are just bad. I don't know how he's going to be.
No, I don't either. I'm just still waiting for somebody to tell me that Chris Bryant's going to retire and that money comes off.
Maybe we'll get that news soon. You never know. Money Paul can work miracles, man. You saw the movie.
Yeah, and it was, if anybody believes that was 100% accurate.
Wait, what?
A movie that never mentions any of the four starting pitchers who were all lights out that year.
Yeah.
But no, it was all about teaching Scott Hatterberg how to play first base.
Well, it was no.
Forget the fact that Barry Zito is just dropping knee buckling curveballs left and right, or that you've got Tim Hudson, and they all took the hill every fifth day.
Yeah,
and they were money. But why should we talk about them at all? Because obviously, as we all know, pitching has no factor in the outcome of the baseball game.
Well, not when Brad Pitt and Jonah Hill are involved, Mike. Come on.
I guess not.
Yeah.
If you watch that movie, you would not know that Barry Zito ever played for that team.
No, you didn't know a whole lot. You didn't know a heck of a lot about that roster.
You didn't know anybody in that rotation.
No.
And I'm telling you, that rotation was good.
Yeah. Yeah, fascinating.
The Rockies would like that rotation.
Yeah, well, maybe.
That rotation now, at their age, might be better than what the Rockies tried it out.
I don't doubt that at all. Mike, always appreciate it, man. And again, Scott Steiner alert. Just send me some kind of cryptic text, and I'll know what it means, like a bat signal kind of thing, and I'll know what it means.
Okay, we'll work on that. when he shows up for one of our big Sky games.
Okay. Come on. Come on. Okay. I save 4 million words a day, Mike. Come on.
I
know. I know you did. All right, Mike. I appreciate it, man. Mountain West Player of the Week, Kyle Jorgensen. Talk to Ryan. And
put some respect on that name, would you?
I've already said he's going to be the greatest player we've ever seen. I've already said it. I can't say it enough.
Well, there we go. Yeah. That's good. All right.
Sounds good, Mike. Appreciate you, dude.
Bye.
Mike Brohard. I'm opening a release. I get all my sports stories in one like inbox, Mike, or one folder. And the first story was a Big Sky story. And as I'm saying this, I'm looking at that going, oh, Kyle, Big Sky. Yes, yeah, so I flubbed. I'm going to blame you on this, Mike. I'm going to blame you.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Just please don't let it happen again.
I really like Michael.
All right, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.